All right, Lotus.fm is an early-stage female-founded startup headquartered in Portland, Oregon. Their mission is helping artists get paid. Pretty simple. They operate with the assumption that creators' contributions are deeply undervalued by our culture and economic indices. We believe that the key to fairly and accurately valuing creative work, whether music, media, or software, lies in better metrics and tools for content discovery. Tess Gadwa, founder of Lotus.fm, how are you?
Great, thanks for asking.
So what, are you a musician or artist yourself? Is that what led to you putting this app together?
I'm an artist. My preferred art forms are comic art and writing. Mostly prose fiction. It varies, but I'm also an avid and somewhat obsessive consumer of music, in particular live music. I've just loved concerts and loved seeing live bands, especially small and emerging local bands, pretty much my entire life from age 13 on. Getting to know a local music scene in whatever city I'm from, whether that was the Southeast or Western Massachusetts or Portland, Oregon. For me, it's one of the most rewarding activities and communities you can possibly be part of. So my partner and one of the other co-founders is himself a musician. Interestingly enough, a lot of the people that we've worked with on our projects over the years have been both technical and also musicians or DJs. And this is our way of giving back and really answering a gap that we saw. Because, I mean, it's news to nobody. Musicians are badly undercompensated, and it's only getting worse.
And are you thinking more of the small local artists when, like, you wouldn't probably go on and want to tip Imagine Dragons, and they've got enough, right?
Well, actually, this is an interesting platform because if you are an artist, you can use it in two ways. One is to tip on your own behalf to collect income to pay your bills or fund your next tour or recording your next album. The other way in which you can use the platform is to fund on somebody else's behalf. So say that you have a cause that you're passionate about, or say another musician or somebody that you know has gotten sick and doesn't have health insurance. We always think back to Victoria Williams having MS, the organization that came out of that, Sweet Relief. We actually have a tipping link set up on our website right now just so that people who want to can give directly to this organization, Sweet Relief, which helps musicians get health insurance and better health care. But by the same token, LotusFM is set up, it's really just like a fundraiser without the fundraiser, a benefit concert without the benefit concert. You can say at your next stadium show, if you're Taylor Swift, if you're somebody huge, well, all of the tips from this concert are going, say, to help flood victims, or whatever the cause you might have in mind. It could be something more radical. It could be something more personal, more political. We're not really putting restrictions on how people use the service. We just want to give artists a megaphone where if they're in front of an audience, they can connect with them in real time, and the audience can tip with their phone.
How does this differ, or is this better maybe for artists than using the crowdsourcing apps and in websites that are out today?
Great question. We get a lot of comparisons really on two sides. One is to sort of general purpose online payment platforms like a PayPal or a Venmo, and the other is to services like Patreon or services like Kickstarter or Indiegogo. And I think, you know, every creative person has to be very creative when looking for solutions to fund their vision. So I think all of these pieces may have a place in the larger puzzle and the larger ecosystem. I think what sets us apart is number one, privacy. We are a great deal better in terms of protecting both artist and tipper privacy than a PayPal or a Venmo. You don't have to reveal a personal email address. Nobody is going to see a paper trail of your activity, who you've tipped, who you've gotten tips from. This information, we really want to respect artists' privacy and their time and their focus especially, and just give them a very streamlined experience where they know that the fans support them, but it's not the same as having to engage on a platform that's more social and accept a bunch of people into your network in order to get paid by them. That's an important differentiator. Going back to your question about crowdfunding is a great mechanism. It's something we'll probably introduce more of as we mature more and grow more as a platform. I think the biggest difference, a service like Patreon, you have to make a monthly commitment. You're going to say, all right, these folks are my favorite band, so I'm going to just give them $25 every month. That's great, but not all of us are super, some of us are commitment folks. Some of us may choose not to make that commitment at that time. So we wanted to create just a means which was a little more spontaneous, where you can just be listening online or at a show to a band and just say, hey, I really like their music. I want to give them $5. Hey, they're doing this great thing with this benefit show. They're raising funds for a really important cause. I want to help them out. I'll just, you know, hit this button and in that moment make that connection. And likewise, we do curate and vet our list of recipients very carefully to be accepted as a band through Lotus. We do some screening ahead of time just to make sure you really are who you say you are.
Bands like the Fab Faux or, I mean, the Ruddles or something, like Spinal Tap, fake bands like that.
We haven't yet, but we're also being proactive. Yeah. You know, we'd rather just have good systems in place. And it's also important to understand you have to be an artist to use the service. This isn't for everyone. I mean, there are plenty of services where if you want to split your tab from lunch or pay somebody for washing your car, there are great existing ways to do this. This is very specifically for artists and creators because they have a really unique mission. In a lot of ways, what they do serves the public good, but typically they aren't treated or categorized as nonprofits, and they don't get many of the same benefits that other organizations serving the public benefit might.
Can people tip their favorite radio host?
Yes, radio hosts and DJs definitely fall within our definition of art. People who compile and curate and edit are very important to the process. And I think what I wanted to say is just we really try to do our screening up front at the get-go. Once we know you are who you say you are and that you are a legitimate artist producing art, it's really up to you when and where and for what you want to ask for tips. So you could just be like, hey, tip me. You could be like, we have this very detailed project, and this is step one, step two, step three. It could be in response to a very immediate need, like, say, your radiator blew while you're on tour. You're stranded with a flat tire. Dear God. It could be very specific. It could be very general. But if you've ever done a crowdfunding project, and I've gotten various steps of the way through them, there are a lot of hoops to jump through. There's an expectation that you produce a video, that you put together this lengthy social media list. Many times the actually running the crowdfunding campaign can be more work and time than the project that you're running it for.
Yeah.
So we wanted to get away from that and just make it extremely easy and extremely low impact to just say, like, hey, if you can spare a few bucks to help us out on demand on your time frame, this is a very easy, hassle-free way to do it.
I like the idea, because a lot of times I'll go to a show and I'll go up and put something in the tip jar, but sometimes if I don't have any cash, then this would be a great way to give them a tip.
Exactly. That's the gap that we really see it filling. We do have an online streaming platform as well. We have a music discovery platform, and we'll be adding a lot more content and functionality to that as the year rolls in and moves along. But we expect the core value of what we're producing really to be for live shows and live performances. Because it varies a lot. For some people, paying $15 to get into a show is all they can afford. Like, it's literally their big treat for the week that right. they get to go. For other people, it's nothing. I hope I can get away with saying this on the radio, but this is where we're a little bit more communistic in our approach. We want to create a way where people who have the means to give back and find a lot of value in a service or an art form have a way to do so.
Yeah, it's a great form of community support.
Thanks.
So how does an artist sign up for this?
Visit our website, www.lotus.fm.
.fm, yeah. Is it, were you ever connected with the radio.fm? There used to be a service that did email, and .fm was the suffix.
It's what's known as a TLD. It's a domain extension, so it's just live.com or .net or .org. You can have a domain extension for any domain name. So right now we are lotus.fm. It's possible we may add additional domain names as time goes on if there's a need, but that's the easiest place to find us.
And does the artist get the whole contribution, or is there a cut for your service?
They get about 94% of it, and we don't get all of the remaining amount. We have to also pay our merchant fees and our payment processor and gateway and transaction fees.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we're trying to keep the price point to where we're competitive with the larger services, such as an Indiegogo,
right.
such as a Patreon. We wish we could do this just as a complete pass-through, but we feel like this is a better deal for most artists than charging, say, a monthly or an annual membership fee or putting a lot of advertising up on our site.
Right. And 6% seems pretty reasonable, too.
Glad to hear you think so. We're doing our best to strike the balance. Another thing to know is that this is an ad-free platform, and it will remain an advertising-free platform.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Those are so annoying.
All music, all the time. If you don't want to be bothered with new music or finding interesting music that might be like music that you already like, maybe it's not the place for you. But if finding emerging artists and seeing what's trending and being able to quickly preview and just really have a blend between the algorithmic approach to music discovery and the human approach. My background, I said, I'm a visual artist, I've done some work in comics. but I'm also kind of a design geek, and I really wanted to come up with a way to experience music, which kind of harkened back to being in a big record store and just being able to sift through all the bins, find things that were unexpected, be at your friend's house, who's an amazing collector, and you just see all these albums that you haven't seen before. So it's a very visual approach, but what's exciting is that as we grow and as we expand what we offer on the site, you can really connect it to anything and curate an experience.
That's great. I wish you well, and I'll definitely help promote this, not only with people listening to the radio show, but every time I run into a local artist, I want to spread the word to them too, for a way for them to get some additional income.
Thank you so much. And again, it's important to know, right now we offer sort of a basic e-commerce package. We will be adding more features and releasing our mobile apps later in the month. But if you're curious, check us out. We can get you online with your own link and your own page, accepting donations within about a day.
Awesome. That's a great, great thing you're doing. Tess,
you're
in the Portland, Oregon area now. Have you been there for a long time?
About 3 years.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you've been there for a long time, I didn't ask if you knew my favorite band. There used to be, back in the 90s, there was a band out there called In June.
In June? I don't know them, but I will look for them now that you mentioned them. Do they have anything I might be able to find online?
No, I don't think so. The internet was just starting when they were together. Kirsten Ryan, I believe, still lives out there. That reminds me, I have to reach out to her. It was one of the first bands I interviewed when I started the radio show.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that I really love about Portland is it has this music scene with lineage. You can just go back. The first thing we did for Lotus FM, just kind of as a teaser, was to put together a list of the top 500 Portland videos of all time. And I still have about 100 spots open on that list if people have good stuff they want to recommend. And it was just so interesting to see how the scene had matured, you know, going all the way back to Quarter Flash, through Dead Moon, and of course sort of the sounds that we think of as being very emblematic of the Portland music scene, from Sleater-Kinney to the Decemberists. It's interesting because it didn't stop. It's still a very, very vibrant scene. I would say if you ever have the opportunity to get out there, if any of your listeners do, I love being out there. I moved from Western Massachusetts, which is a much smaller community, but similar in some ways, because on any night of the week, there will be an amazing show or shows happening somewhere.
That's
and usually
awesome.
You can get in for about $5 to $10 and just see like an incredible female front psych band, be completely blown away.
Oh,
go
yeah.
home, go to work in the morning. It's very alive. It's not a memory or a relic. There's just so much that's happening.
I'm hopping on the next flight.
Excellent. Good deal.
Tess, thanks very much for taking some time with me, and best of luck to you and Lotus.fm.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, stay in touch.
You too. Take care.
Bye.